Luke chapter number 2. The standard of the reverence, the reading of God's word, Luke chapter number 2. We're just going to read one verse here, then I'm going to have you go to a couple other spots, and then we'll get right into it tonight. Luke chapter number 2, last verse in the chapter, verse number 52. Luke chapter 2, verse number 52. It says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Now, if you will, let's go over to Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16, this is the parable of the steward that was giving account, and the master came to him and he said, "I want you to give account of everything." And the steward started forgiving people their debts, if you remember that parable that Jesus told. Let's look down in verse number 9. It says, "And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is also unjust in much." And one more place, if you go back to 1 Samuel chapter number 2, I know it's kind of back the opposite way, but 1 Samuel chapter number 2, verse number 26. The Bible says, "And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men." Let's have a word of prayer tonight. Father, I thank you for this night. Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight, Lord. Just give me clarity of thought, and I pray that you would just help me to glorify you in this. Lord, help. Pray that our lives would glorify you in everything that we do. Lord, this I pray the Holy Spirit would just work, and that if you need to work on somebody's heart and my heart even, Lord, as you've already done, I pray that you just feel welcome here tonight and that you would work among us. Pray that you just be with everyone tonight. Thank you for everybody here and all the families represented. Pray that you just bless each and every one. Give you praise and glory for everything that's done. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of times we go to Luke chapter number 2, and if you will, I'm gonna turn back there real quick here. Luke chapter number 2, and as you know, Pastor, basically the Teenage Years of Jesus Christ is written off this this passage about Jesus, pretty much. I mean, I know Pastor goes in other places, but primarily it's written from Luke chapter number 2. And teenage years, I told the young people this morning in chapel, you know, Teenage Years of Jesus Christ, I was kind of growing up part of that first when Pastor was still teaching it in youth, and kind of that transition when he made when he wrote the book. And so what my philosophy of life, a lot of that came from that book. So, you know, I guess I would be a product of that book, if you might, for instance. So, but in Luke chapter number 2, verse 52, and I want to, for part of this tonight, I want to challenge the young people, and it's a challenge to all of us, that just to be careful about things. But I want to also thank a lot of the men here in the church, and I'll explain this in just a moment. But in Luke chapter number 2, verse 52, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." You know, Jesus didn't just increase in favor with God. You know, as Jesus, God obviously was his Father, so he increased in favor with his Father, which was God. And, you know, I understand we need to increase in favor with God, but that's not the all of it, what that says. It also says, and man. And tonight I want to talk about this. It won't take us long tonight. It's just kind of a challenge to young people, encouragement to those older, that we need to increase in favor with man. Now, this may be a carnal message. I don't know. You know, I'm not talking about increasing in favor with God. But I am talking about increasing in favor with man. And it is put in the same list as increasing in favor with God. So I think it would be important for us to look at some things here. And there's a couple examples in the Bible I want to use. And we're going to look at those tonight. And I just want to be an encouragement, young people, to you. As you're getting older, you're going out into the world. And us as we're adults, you know, we all go out in the world also. And it's just not, you know, you should be a Christian 24/7, but you ought to be a Christian that has some graciousness about us too. So I want to talk about that tonight. And young people, I really, if you listen to me, I think I'll help you. And I'll help you where you can be an influence to the world and be a good example. So let's go dig into this tonight. Daniel chapter 1, if you'll go to Daniel chapter 1 with me tonight. Those first few verses, just kind of introductory. Daniel chapter 1. I don't have long introductions. I have three verses, and that's it. Daniel chapter number 1. And I'm not, honestly, I'm not going to read all this, verse 1 through 17. But basically, in the, from verse 1 to verse number 3, the king is talking to Ashpenaz, and he tells him, I want you to go, and I want you to find all the good children in the land of Israel, and I want you to take them, children, in verse for number 4, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now, it talks about the learning and the tongue, but that wasn't the only thing that these young people were learning. They were learning the world system. The kingdom of the Chaldeans was one of the largest kingdoms at this time. So they are learning this whole new culture, this whole new system of thinking. And in verse number 5, we see here that the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. And then it gives a list of some young men. These were the children of Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. Okay, so we have a Christian young man here who has gone to the world. Much like most Christians have to go out into the world every day of our lives. All right? So we have a Christian young man here and three friends that have gone out into the world just like we do. Okay, that's the scenario here. But Daniel purposed in his heart, verse number 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. This would be increasing in favor with God. Okay? He's decided, I'm not going to defile myself just because I have to go out into the world. I do not have to defile myself with the world. So he has purposed in his heart that he's not going to do this. All right? He's purposed that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now look at verse number 9. It says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. And I see in verse number 9, we will focus on that. It says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Why? Why did God bring, how was Daniel able to go, of all the hundreds or thousands of young people that were brought out of the land of Israel, how was Daniel able to go petition somebody that was of the world, that didn't understand their world system, that wouldn't understand? He obviously said, I don't understand why you wanted me to do this, because if this doesn't work, my head gets cut off. Why would a man with this power that he's overseeing all this, why would he say, okay, I will do this for you. I will do this for you. Because Daniel, over some circumstance, some situation, God had brought Daniel into favor with this heathen person, with this worldly person. And I want to talk to you tonight about this. And I guess kind of what got me thinking is doing visitation and doing different things and talking to people. I worked with a guy when I was in high school, Irvin Boozy. I think Brother Don might know him. Brother Charles might know him. Some of the guys that worked with mine. And I worked with him. He's a super nice guy. And he's not what we are necessarily. But he's a nice guy. Real good at working on equipment and stuff like that. And I got to talking to him about where I go to church at. And he's like, oh, yeah, I know Charles English. He goes over there. And Don Mowry goes over there. And you know what? He had good things to say about them. He said, yeah, Charles English, he could put a CB in quicker than anybody I know. But you know what? He also knew where Charles English went to church at. And, you know, I think these men, and I want to thank you men for this, and there's other men, that if when we go out in the community and I go to these different places and I go to get supplies or anything like that, and they'll say, hey, does so-and-so go to church over there? Well, yeah, they go to church. And they'll say something real good about it. Or, you know, I go visiting and over in Sullivan, and we run into some people that work over at the coal mines. And, yeah, I know Val Loveless. He goes over there. He's a super nice guy. They'll say nice things. But what would it be if they said, well, so-and-so goes there? And then if they were so inclined to, go on to tell me what so-and-so did at work or what so-and-so said at work or what so-and-so, you know, their attitude towards the authority at work. So what kind of testimony does that leave to the church? All right? young people, I want you to think about this. It's not just, you know, and I don't think most of us, we don't have the problem of being too bold. You know, we don't go to church and start to work and start preaching at people. You know, I didn't have that ever. I don't have that problem. I mean, if when I was going to work, you know, you wouldn't find me, you know, in the lunchroom with my Bible open doing Bible studies, you know, exhorting people into the way of God. Yeah, I just, that wasn't me, okay? You didn't find me in the break room very much at all because you just don't want to go to the break room. Anyway, but, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel, they had to do what was right. They couldn't compromise. Young people, well, you're going out into the world and you can't compromise. But at the same time, you don't have to be caustic to people. You know, there's a whole, you know, people don't necessarily want to listen to what you say until they watch how you live. And if they don't want to be a Christian if you're going to be like them, all right? I'm going to use a few examples from my life. And men, you know, I'm up here, so, but each one of you could get up here and tell how it's not necessarily getting your Bible out every time you know, and showing somebody the Romans road. You know, there were people when I worked at Sears, I never got the opportunity to take my Bible out and show them. There was one guy, his name was John, and, you know, I never took my Bible out one time at work. But you know what? He would show up at church every once in a while. I'd say, hey, John, we're having a special day. Why don't you come out? And that's all I said. I didn't have to beat him over the brow with it, all right? And we got to be careful, folks, that we're not caustic as Christians. You know, sometimes we want to get something done and we want it done right now. Okay, well, maybe they are being slow, but, you know, I go into, sometimes this is not really about work, but sometimes you go into McDonald's and you see somebody that may be dressed like a Christian and they're just mean to everybody. And it's like, well, I don't know where you go to church or who you are, but that's a direct representation of what you believe, all right? So we got to be careful about that. These young men decided to do what was right, and they refused to eat of the king's meat and drink of his wine. So what allowed them? So God brought the Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. The simple fact is he liked him, all right? I worked, when me and Brother Gerald worked at Sears, you know, Brother Gerald was the same way. If somebody asks us a question, I'm going to give him an answer. I'm going to give him a Bible answer. But I'm not going to, you know, if they're out on, you know, their smoke break, I'm not going to go out and preach to them the, you know, what the Bible says about keeping your body, you know, clean. And no, that's not my place. You know what that would do if I went out and everything that those guys did, would I stand up for Christ? What if they start taking the God's name in vain and, hey guys, you know, that's who I serve. That's my Savior. I appreciate you if you don't do that. But I'm not out to rip their face off about it. Okay. I want to be gracious. I think graciousness would be a key word here. I want to be gracious when I do these type of things. All right. So there was Daniel and those men. Many times there's situations that will arise when, you know, there was a guy named Johnny that was one of my supervisors. Let me preface this. Sears was probably one of the only places I've worked that was not some type of Christian environment, if you know what I mean. I mean, most of the time I worked for, most of my employers were Christian. I worked for some of you folks in here, and it is a blessing to work for a Christian employer. It really is. So Sears, most of these illustrations are going to come from there because, you know, I've never had Brother Tommy cuss me out, you know. You know what I mean? You know, so. But so most of these illustrations will come from that because it was a worldly employer type of deal. But, you know, there was the guy named Johnny, and he was spastic like you wouldn't believe. But he was a good guy, and he'd treat you right. But you know what? I never once, and maybe it's to my shame, but I never once, I gave him a couple tracks and stuff like that. But he never just showed an interest. You know what I mean? I mean, just didn't. He's kind of one of those things, I'll respect you for doing it, but I don't want nothing to do with it type of guys. And but you know what? I earned his respect not by me preaching to all the guys, not by me taking time off of work when I should have been working to, you know, share a Bible verse with a fellow employee. He appreciated what I did because I worked hard. He appreciated what I did because I showed up on time. He appreciated what I did because, you know, when I come to work putting tires on people's cars, I wasn't drunk. All right? It wasn't because I was a Christian. He didn't appreciate me for being a Christian. In fact, he thought it was kind of humorous, some of the things that we believed in, some of the things we thought. But Johnny would back me up. Johnny would take my back on things. He was actually the assistant manager, and the manager would want me to work like a Sunday afternoon or something like that. And Johnny would say, "Dean, you know he can't do that. He's got church responsibilities." Now, did he believe what I did? Would he ever go to church where I went? No. But not because I was a super Christian, but just because I did what I was supposed to do. All right? Because I worked hard, because I was prompt, because I was kind, I was courteous. All right? So they'll hang on to you. All right? So keep that in mind. Another person. What about, let's go to Genesis chapter 39. So Daniel is a good example of this. And we won't be long tonight, I promise. Genesis 39. Verse 1 through 6 says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard. An Egyptian bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace," could be construed favor, okay? Favor, grace. "Found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand." So here's another young man. Unfortunate circumstances, but he's thrust into a worldly situation. Not by his choosing. I'm sure Joseph would have loved to stay with his family. But he has been thrust into the worldly situation. But he takes advantage of it, and he becomes second to Potiphar in Potiphar's house. Then by some other circumstances, Joseph is tempted and resists that temptation, and he's then falsely accused, so Joseph gets thrown in prison. And we'll see that here. And verse number 7, it talks about his wife. Verse number 8, he refused. Verse number 8 through 10, he refuses. All right? And then down in verse number, I'm sorry, I should have had this marked. Down in verse number 19, let's start there. It says, "And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." Huh, what do you know? Just coincidence, or is it maybe a lifestyle that Joseph lives? "And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." You know, nowhere in this passage about Joseph, or even necessarily under Potiphar, when he was under Potiphar, or the keeper of the prison, I don't find anywhere where Joseph, you know, starts preaching against all the pagan sins that they're in. Now, I'm not saying that he shouldn't. Did Joseph stand for right? Obviously, he resisted the temptation that Potiphar's wife threw at him. All right, so he stood for right. I'm not saying that, folks. But I don't think we need to have a caustic attitude about things. All right, and I think Joseph is very good here in that he has a balance, and that's we have to have a balance. Okay. Now, I believe we ought to stand for right. I don't want anybody to come away from here not thinking we shouldn't stand for right. You know, if they got terrible music just blaring, you know, just ask them to turn it down. But you don't have to be mean about it. You know what I'm saying? Yes, sir. All right. So we see that example with Joseph, and you know, Joseph had a pretty rough start. I'll give him that. But Joseph allowed his situations. He didn't let it get him down. But he did what was right, all right? He did what he was supposed to do. Like I said, you know, I want to thank the men here. And young people, if you get out and you start talking to other people, you'll find out that the men in this church are well known. And it's not because they're lazy, all right? And it's not because they're mean to people, all right? I've talked to several people on visitation. A lot of guys around here have worked in the mines. A lot of people know people that worked in the mines around here. And you've kept a good testimony, and I appreciate that. All right? So, young men, it's up to us. You know, we're kind of the next generation. And what are people going to say that we worked with? You know how many people I've worked with over the years? Is there any of them that if somebody talked to them and said, hey, do you know a guy named Chad Gordon? What would they say? What would they say? Would they say, oh, yeah, he would always go out on Friday nights with us when we went out to party? Should that be said? No, that shouldn't be said. But should it also be said that, you know, he was mean and caustic in everything that he did? No. We have to be balanced there. We need to be gracious. So what made these men grow in favor with man? I think one thing is they had a close walk with God. Notice that God gave them favor in the sight of whoever it was. God gave Joseph favor in the sight of. God gave Daniel favor in the sight of. All right? So I think a close walk with God. You know, if you have a close walk with God, I think that'll help you increase with favor with man. Why? Because it changes your personality. All right? Instead of having a caustic, hateful attitude, it changes your personality into something that people are, they don't mind being around. You know, I didn't have any guys at work when I've worked that didn't like being around me. One, I don't say nothing. So, you know, they can talk and do whatever they want. All right? Two, I work more than, you know, all the guys at Sears, I could outdo them. And, you know, they didn't mind that either. You know, they didn't mind me doing all the work. You know, as long as they got paid too, they didn't care who did the work. Okay? So, you know, there's things that people do that they like you for it. They will like you for it. But we got to be careful, and a close walk with God keeps our demeanor, keeps our attitude towards other people right. Daniel had purpose to honor God with his life and his standards, and God rewarded him by giving him respect from the world. Okay. Second thing I want to mention, so they had a close walk with God, but they also fulfilled their responsibilities. They fulfilled their responsibilities. Now, they stood for what was right, but any time they had something that was required of them, they did it. They did it. You know, any time the men here the few I've mentioned, you know, when the boss told them to do something, they didn't give them lip about it. Yep. They just went and did it. All right? Now, if the boss asked them to do something wrong, which I doubt they would because it goes back to that thing, the boss knows. You know, the boss won't ask you to do things that he would sometimes ask other guys to do. Just because he knows that he can't do that. He's a Christian, okay? But if you never say anything, you know, now listen here again, you got to stand for what's right. You know, if they're talking about and taking God's name in vain and you never say anything, how are they supposed to know you're a Christian? So there is a balance here, and I'm not. I want you to keep that in mind. I believe that they worked hard, all right? Jesus, he grew in favor with man. Jesus was a carpenter. He worked hard. You know, the type of carpentry we do today is wimpy, very wimpy, compared to the type of carpentry they did back then, all right? I don't even know how to describe it, you know, how wimpy our carpentry is. It really is. But Jesus was a man's man, and he worked hard, and he had people respect him from it. What did the men say? Is not this the what? Carpenter's son. Was Jesus known as the Messiah at this point? No. Did Jesus have to stand for right and stand for why he came to the earth later on? Yes, but he was not doing... I don't think Jesus backed down for wrong, don't get me wrong. But he was not known as the preacher. He was known as what? The carpenter's son. This shows me that he was not known... He was known as being a hard worker. He was known as doing what he had to do to get the job done. I believe that Daniel, what was one reason that Daniel came to the land of the Chaldeans? To learn the tongue of the Chaldeans, to learn their mannerisms, okay? I believe that Daniel worked hard in his studies. And I don't really see where in the Bible that Daniel was, you know, a he-man. You know, he was more of a scholar. But I think he had to study hard. I mean, can you imagine going to a whole, just taking young men, taking them completely to a different country and said, hey, you got to memorize, you got to learn this whole new language. And it wasn't one language. If you know anything about the Chaldeans, to become a wise person, according to the Chaldeans, many, many, many languages, many philosophies, all right? So I believe that Daniel studied hard. I believe that many things that Daniel did brought him into favor with Ashpenaz, the keeper, okay? Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. All right. This is exactly what happened to both Daniel and Joseph. They were diligent in their jobs that they were assigned and stood before the most powerful men in the then known world. All right. The world should also respect us because we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know, folks, when we go to work, our lights shouldn't be, you know, people ought to be able to see that we're Christian. Our lights ought to shine, all right? And that's what the Bible's saying here, that we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom he shines lights in the world. We need to keep a good testimony before the world, because as you all heard this statement before, you know, you may be the only Bible some will ever read. You ever heard that? All right, most of you have. Your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Okay? And that's true. It's very true. People don't, I heard one guy say this, and I probably got my Bible written down somewhere. Even when it comes to your relationship to others, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's very true. You know, people don't care about the words you say as much as the way you live your life. And we need to keep that in mind. Never compromise to please. Never compromise to please. No matter what, don't compromise to please. Daniel purposed in his heart. Now, you say, Brother Chad, what would have happened if Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself, and then Ashpenaz decided that he couldn't, that he had to eat the king's meat? You ever think about that? What would have happened? We don't know. Why? Because not only did Daniel purpose, but Daniel also was prepared to be in favor. And God brought him into favor. Folks, if we do what we can, I think God takes care of the rest of it. All right? I'm gonna be nitty gritty here, but you know, this doesn't just apply to the workplace. You know, this applies to your attitude when you go into McDonald's. You know, your attitude when you go into Walmart. I mean, Linton Walmart has got to have the most terrible cashier system in the world. I mean, what? They got 21 and 4 of them are open. All right? Now, that tests a Christian's patience. I mean, it really, really does. I don't go into Walmart. I went into Walmart once, like 2 weeks ago. I know, it was almost a sin. It really was. And I had to get, I don't even remember what I had to get. It was something really silly. Oh, it was hairspray. My wife is like, hey, are you going to be up in town today? And I had to go make a visit or something. And she's like, yeah, I need some hairspray. So I walked through Walmart checkout with a can of hairspray. That was why it was wicked. And it kills me, you know, you walk into Walmart and, you know, you got all these checkouts and you're standing there with a can of hairspray. Inevitably, you get behind the lady that's got 2 shopping carts full of stuff. And so I'm standing there, and then, you know, then the light starts blinking on the thing, and you know, they need help. And so you're still standing there, all right? Now, this, I'm serious, this will try your patience. You know, when I'm used to going to Menards, and they've got, you know, 7 checkouts, and anytime there's more than 2 people in line, they open another one. I mean, they get you through like this, and then I go to Walmart where they got 20 and only 4 of them are open and they won't open anymore for any reason at all. All right? It's aggravating. So I'm standing there. Once I finally get up there, what do I do? Bawl the lady out? She can't help it. You know how many people she's had come through that line that day? And most of them are very rude. Very mean, on their cell phone the whole time. They can't even answer a question that she might ask them. And then I'm going to go bawl her out as a Christian. And I was even wearing a shirt and tie. No, that's not what a Christian ought to do. All right? So we got to be careful about that. It's not just favor with God. Yeah, you may have had your walk with God that morning. but she doesn't know that you are a Christian and that you walk with God. All right? I have no business bawling her out. All right? You know, you're going through McDonald's drive-thru, okay? And they get your order wrong.
Well, they should have got it right the first time.
Yep. Do you realize how many orders McDonald's... In fact, I'm going to take stock in McDonald's or something. Do you know how many orders go through McDonald's? And so when she brings their food finally out there, you're going to bawl her out for having the wrong food? So is that what Christ would do? I don't think so. All right? You're driving down the road. You're driving down the road, and you drive like a crazy person. And you've got the little I love Jesus sticker on the back window. Really? Seriously? You know, I can drive a bus fairly proficiently, but that doesn't mean I have to drift around corners. All right? I mean, what better representation? Blessed Hope Baptist Church, big red limousine. That's a representation of Christ. That's a representation of our church. Okay? Now, I'm being kind of silly here, but at some point, I'm not being silly. All right? Do you know I pray for people by their vehicles? So some of you may be getting prayed for, and I didn't even see you that day. But I really do. That's one way the Lord kind of triggers my mind to pray for people. Is I'll see somebody's vehicle that comes to church. So if you get a new vehicle, make sure you let me know, because or you don't have to let me know, and if I see the old vehicle, I'll pray for you still. So that might work out for you. But I do. I pray for people's. So if I recognize people by their vehicle, do you think other people recognize you by your vehicle? I mean, I've kind of got a unique-looking truck. I mean, I don't know that I've seen another one out there that just quite like that. And then, you know, I run somebody off the road on, you know, Saturday night, and then Sunday morning they drive by and see it sitting in the parking lot.
That's right. Yep, yep.
Do you see what I'm saying here? It's not just a walk with God. Well, I came to church Sunday. Well, yeah, I ran three people off the road on the way to do it. Okay? We got to be careful about this. We really do. And I know we're having some fun, but people do think about those things. You know, the last thing that I would want to do, is to exhibit an unchristian character trait and be knocking on a door somewhere, and it's that cashier from Walmart, or it's that little girl I chewed out at McDonald's because she didn't put Big Mac sauce on my McDouble. Wouldn't that make me feel, man, that, oh, so you feel great because you chewed her out. You feel good because you ran them off the road, right? You know, they're going 60 and you pass them at 75. I love Jesus. Okay? And then I knock on their door. Hi, my name's Chad Gordon. I'm from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Just wondering if you went to church anywhere, we'd like to invite you to our church for some special services we're having. Hey, aren't you that guy that, do you think they'll come? I went to Indianapolis, and I had somebody run me off the road up in Indianapolis. Now, they don't know me up in Indy, all right? Some guy, he was really hot-headed or something, and I started to turn the corner, and he was coming. It was my fault to start with. And then he stopped right in front of me. Like, I mean, he brake checked right in front of me as I was starting to go. I mean, he was going by me, and then he stopped so I would hit him. And I just barely missed him. I killed my truck. I stopped my truck so fast, I killed it. That's how fast I stopped. But they don't know that, you know, I've got probably 300 rounds of ammo in the back of my truck. A high-powered rifle, two handguns, you know, it looks like a cutlery shop. They don't know that about me. So I just smile and wave, you know. So Do you know, but you know what I'm saying? They don't know me there, but around here they know me. Now, what would it be if I get out of my truck and, you know, run up to his window and start screaming at him? Now, he looked like he was about ready to do that to me. But that's not what Christ would do. It's just not. All right? So be careful. It's not just at work, folks. It's every area of our lives. We got to be careful that we stay not only in favor with God, because we got to keep that communication. We got to keep growing. But, you know, in favor with man, too. I read in Luke chapter, I think it was 16 or 9, verse 16 or 16, verse 9, there at the beginning. Do you know what Jesus said? And this kind of cracks me up, and I've always kind of wondered about it. In the parable of the steward, he told him, hey, go make friends with some people in the world. I always thought that's kind of weird. Why would you go make friends with people in the world? Now, I don't think he means buddy-buddy, go, you know, spend every weekend with them. But, you know, I've made some friends with people in the world, and I've used a lot. I still got their names on my phone here. People that I've had good rapport with, that I wouldn't be afraid to say, contacts, dial down through. Hey, we got some stuff going on over at church. Can I borrow your backhoe? Yeah, sure, come get it whenever you want it. Now, or hey, we got some stuff going on. Do you have any extra wire laying around? I got a few electrical things. I got to have this special gauge of wire. Yeah, I got some down here in my barn. Why don't you come get it? You can just have it if it's for the church. I couldn't do that if I didn't have good favor, if I didn't keep a proper attitude towards them. I'm not out there trying to make enemies with the world. I have to live in there, and I don't necessarily agree with everything that they're going to do. But it doesn't mean I have to be mean and caustic and hateful to them about it. Because the Bible, Jesus even said, when you fail, oh, that's thanks, Jesus, when I fail, go ask him for help. But Jesus, I was mean and caustic to him. Tough to ask somebody for help if you just insulted them. Young people, this is a good lesson. Be careful what you say to folks. You never know. Everybody talks about burning bridges. Now, there are some bridges you need to burn. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, that's right. But sometimes people burn too many bridges. You get mad at somebody at work and, I'm going to burn that bridge. I'm never going back there again. Who knows? You might need that. You might need somebody there later on. So it's just a thought. Not only in our workplace, but in our daily lives, you know. Next time you get aggravated at Walmart or get aggravated at McDonald's drive through or, you know, somebody's driving crazy or something, instead of retaliating and biting back at them, you know, I don't think the men here that I've mentioned that, and there's others I could name if I wanted to, but they don't have a reputation as that. They don't. So young people, we have to be the same. We can't have a bad reputation. We need to have good rapport among people of the world, even though I may not agree with everything that the world does, and I won't. And I'm going to stand for what's right. But I don't have to be mean about it, all right? I need to have a Christian attitude even with people of the world, not just my brothers and sisters in Christ, but among people of the world. It's just something to think about. It wasn't really just a thought I had, I guess, and some things I had thought about Joseph and about Daniel, and then hearing those good things about the men of our church, where people, will they ever step foot in this church? I have no clue. But they don't have a bad taste in their mouth before they even get here. All right. Have you ever heard of Sermon on a Poem? I don't really like poems, but this one was pretty good. All right. Edgar Guest, I don't know if you've heard of him. It says, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely show the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Find counsel is confusing, but example always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds, for to see the good in action is what everybody needs. I can soon learn how to do it if you will let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be wise and true, but I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. For I may misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. Who's misunderstanding you? Who's misunderstanding you? What are you doing to make people misunderstand you? You may be the best Christian here, but they don't know that. They don't know that. So keep in mind your favor with man. Try to increase in favor with man. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that you just use this simple thought tonight. It's not anything special, but Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray that you just help us, help me, Lord, as I go about my daily life, just to have a good rapport among people of the world, even though I may not agree with everything that they do. And Lord, I pray that that testimony that I have with them would be an influence in their salvation, in their coming to church. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us all with this. Lord, thank you for your love for us. I pray that you just be with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.